For example, for about the next 6 weeks, any paper that you sign or any paper that you turn in, students, any homework that you turn in, what are you going to date that? Are you going to date it 2012 or are you going to date it 2011? Yeah, it's going to be like, what? I don't want to change. I just got used to 2011. And for us as adults, if you fill out checks or something, you're going to have a lot of scribbling through, erasing, and putting your little initials at the top, right? Because we're not used to it yet, but it's natural. It begins to escort in this idea of change, but also within the physical body. I mean, it teaches us. I mean, nature teaches us, that the world teaches us naturally that change occurs. You say, well, what are you talking about, Jerry? Well, think about how you looked 20 years ago, all right? It's a lot different now, right? For some of you, you're like, I was an embryo. Okay, well, that's really different, right? But, okay, let's just use like 10 years ago. 10 years ago, think how different it was. Now, I know within the Asian culture, it's, you don't change as much, for sure, right? I had somebody last Sunday, they were like, hey, guess my age. You know, as a student over there, I was like, 14. They're like, I'm 26. Like, what? You know, and then, of course, I asked the question, guess my age. You know, and they kind of look at me, look down, they're like, oh, yeah, you look like you're in the 20s, Jared. Like, whatever. You know, because it's not the same. I know I look my age. I understand that. I can handle that. Yes, I am 25. 35, yeah. But you get the point, right? Nature teaches us. Some of the Greek theologians or the Greek philosophers long time ago, they understood and they dwelled on this idea of change because everything within the universe changes. I mean, our bodies change. The dogs that we have change. They go from small. The trees outside, they grow. All this stuff, it changes. The cars that we have, they go from good to bad. You know, then we got to get another one. It just teaches us that change is natural. Now, that's in the physical realm, right? Or in the physical world. But within the spiritual world, there also should be something that happens. Or within our own spiritual lives, there should be something that happens. And this change should occur. But now there's something very different about this, our spiritual life versus the physical life. See, we have somewhat of control over the spiritual life. Do you understand that? In other words, you kind of control, semi-control. It's a shared relationship between the Lord and us. You semi-control how you're going to change within your spiritual walk. I mean, you are. In other words, if you sit here and you don't do anything, then you obviously are not going to change. But physically, you are going to change. You're going to get older. That's going to happen. But within your spiritual life, you control some of that. Now, God does the growth, and He does the work within you, but we control that. So within our spiritual life, we can control some of those things, but physically, you can't control it. I mean, you can get all the remedies and the recipes you want from grandma or whatever to keep yourself young, but you ain't going to be young forever. It's just the way it is. You're going to get old. The earth is going to collapse one day. The Lord Jesus is going to come back, and what I say to that is, come, Lord Jesus, come, right? Some of the Indians think that 2012 is actually the year that the whole world's going to end. And I say, come, Lord Jesus, come, because it's going to be so much better with Him. But we don't have control over the physical. You just don't have it. You're going to change. But within the spiritual life, with your own spiritual walk, you do have some of that control. Now, let me tell you about me. I don't necessarily like to change, all right? Especially within my spiritual life, sometimes I find myself that I have this sort of this spiritual pride to where I can notice all kinds of things wrong with other people around me. But when it comes to me looking in the mirror, I think, well, you know, you're pretty good, Jared. You know, that's just the way we are. That's human nature. When I left community college, Southwest Mississippi Community College, I spent 2 years there studying. As soon as I became a Christian, I went back. The Lord opened doors for me to be able to go back to school. So I spent 2 years at a community college studying and playing in the band. I really enjoyed it. It was kind of strange because I was 30 and everybody else was 16 or 17 or 18, But it was still good. You know, they kind of looked at me like, Dad's playing drums. Okay, I guess I'll be that uncle that plays the drums. But anyway, that was me, okay? And when I graduated, you know, I was sitting here, and for those 2 years, I just got saved, man. I was so immersed in the Bible. I was reading. I had all these classes that I was taking, and I was also reading the Bible. I was reading Bible dictionaries. I mean, I'm telling you, if my pastor would give it to me, I was taking it. I was reading. I was just absorbing all of this stuff, you know? And people were coming up to me saying, hey, Jared, can you tell me about this? Can you tell me about that? That tends to swell the old head, right? So about 2 years, and I left Southwest Mississippi Community College. I transferred to William Carey. I went to William Carey there in Hattiesburg, and I had this idea that, man, I'm God's gift to preaching. You know, here I come. I'm going to William Carey, and they're all going to be like, oh, Jared, you know, all this stuff, right? And I get to William Carey, and there's all of these people that are taking Bible classes, and all of these preachers, and all of a sudden I am very small. You know, I try to say, hey, and try to introduce myself and be all this cool guy and everything, and it's just like I just keep getting knocked down, knocked down, knocked down. The Lord had to teach me a valuable lesson that I need to be humbled. He will exalt you at the proper time, but I needed to be humbled. But I had the spiritual pride about me, and He had to change me. He had to mold me out of that. Now, even recently in my life, I find myself sometimes thinking that not necessarily that I have arrived, but that I just don't need to change. And recently, the Lord has added people to my house. Kevin has come to live with us. We're very excited about him being here, my brother. And now there's more responsibilities around me as far as spiritual life is concerned. So I asked the Lord to give me strength, to give me wisdom, to be able to start leading something. So recently I have ordered a DVD series to come to the house because we're going to start going through a devotional on Monday nights together. Now, you say that's very small, but that's something within my own life. I thought, well, you know, it's very easy for me to go up to somebody and say, hey, you need to be involved in the spiritual life of your children, but all of a sudden I'm not doing that. So I needed to change that about me. Now, that was something that I was going through. Now, the truth of this is that I'm not the only one that's in that boat. See, many of us, I would venture to say all of us, come to places in our life, even today, to where we think that everything is just fine spiritually. You know, everybody else needs to change. Everybody else needs to do this. Everybody else needs to do that. But I myself am perfectly fine. Everything is good. Now, if you want me to come up and lead a discussion on in telling people what they need to do, I would be happy to do that. But as far as I'm concerned, myself, everything is good. Students. Some students, they think, well, I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to spend time with the Lord. Some students, they say that they're Christians. They say that they follow the teachings of Jesus, but I would ask them about the teachings of Jesus and they wouldn't be able to tell me about them. Why is that? Because some of them aren't reading their Bibles. Others, they're just not spending time with the Lord. Their relationship with the Father, they say, yes, I have a relationship with Jesus, but the amount of time that they invest into that, it does not tell me that. They say, yes, yes, I'm a Christian, Jared. Yes, I have a relationship with the Lord. But then I ask, okay, well, what about this? What about this? Are you having quiet time? And they're not having quiet time. Now, that's for the students. And see, some students, too, their relationship with their parents. I mean, there's all of these different things within the life of the students. Also with college students, and I'm going to get off the students for a minute because those are mine. And they're like, Jared, you're always telling us this. So I'm going to move off that. But some of us, as college students, we spend all of our time studying, but we don't spend time with the Lord. We spend all of our time worrying about something else, but we don't spend time with the Lord. As parents, some of us are here and we don't spend time with our children. We don't have any spiritual involvement with our children as opposed to just bringing them to church. We bring them to church, we want the church to handle that. Now, it's some of the church's responsibility, but they don't have any involvement to the lives of their children. Only thing that they're focused on, not only thing, but some of the most emphasis of what they're focused on is school and education, but they don't have that emphasis into the lives of their students. Now, husbands. Some of the husbands here, we need to start learning how to love our wives. Some of the wives here, we need to learn how to start submitting to our husbands and respecting our husbands. So this is a whole gamut, a whole selection of different things that we go through when we consider ourselves that we are spiritually here and that we do not need to go through any type of change. In other words, and this is really the message that comes from the heart, is that I have spiritually arrived. I am here, Jared. Don't mess with what I'm saying. I am here, Lord. God, don't mess with what I am doing. You just mess with somebody else. I don't need to change. I have spiritually arrived. That's really what the heart is saying. Now, God deals with that. He deals with that through His servant Paul in the book of Philippians. So why don't you turn with me very quickly to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, we'll be going to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Each one of us need to have this idea and need to think about resolving to change. Now, New Year's also comes with what? A bunch of New Year's what? Yeah, resolutions, right? And people say, I don't make New Year's resolutions. Well, the reason you don't make New Year's resolutions is because you don't want to change. So that's the whole point. We want you to make a New Year's resolution. I encourage that. And today we're going to resolve to change. But specifically, God is teaching us through Paul in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3 about this idea of not changing and thinking that we have spiritually arrived. Give you some context to Philippians. Basically, Paul wrote this letter because two ladies within the church were fighting. We don't know what they were fighting about. Who knows? Maybe the color of the carpet, maybe where the organ was supposed to go, maybe organ or drums. I don't know. They were fighting about something. Okay, enough so to for the Lord to include a book in the Bible dedicated to it. But Euodia and Syntyche were fighting. That's the best way I can pronounce that. And so Paul wrote this letter, and he says this in chapter 3. Now follow with me. I'm going to read several verses. He says this. Finally, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me. It is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more." Verse 5. "Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is found in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Why? Verse 11, "in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Verse 12, and here we go. "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained." Verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." Did you hear what Paul says here? He says, look, I don't have any reason. Actually, I have every reason to put confidence in the flesh. He says, why? Now, what's he talking about when he says flesh? He doesn't mean like you know, the just his skin. He's talking about the outward man, not the inward man. He's talking about that which is not approved righteous versus the spirit which is approved righteous. It's that outside, that sin nature. I have every reason to put confidence in that. Why? Because I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I am to zeal as a Pharisee. You know who the Pharisee was? If the Pharisees were the ones, the teachers of the law, they knew everything about everything. They had all of these rules. They had all this stuff. And Paul said, I am the best of all those. I have every reason, according to your religion, which is being in Hebrew, I have every reason to put confidence in my own flesh, but I do not do that. He said, you, here you are, Euodia and Syntyche specifically. Here you are, you have these issues that are going on, and both of you refuse to change. You're saying, in my flesh, I am right. I am putting confidence in what I am doing. In other words, I do not need to change. She needs to change. Now, let me ask you something. Does that sound somewhat familiar sometimes? To where it's, I don't need to change. I don't need to do all of these things. I am what? Right. You are what? Wrong. You see what's happening? Is there begins to be this spiritual pride within them where they say, I don't need to change. I don't need to. I don't care what the preacher stands up there and says. I don't care what Pastor Poling stands up there and says. And keep in mind, you know, sometimes we think when the preacher's up here, preacher's got all the answers and all. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about God working through me. All I'm doing up here is just talking, and sometimes it's hard for me to talk, but I do it anyway. I stand up here because God has called me to do this. But he's called all of us to do different things. My role is just to stand up here and talk. But sometimes when the preacher gets up here and stands, I see people crossing their arms. Or now, if this is your normal position, don't stop. Like, dear, I see this, right? But it's the heart that I'm feeling as they're sitting there, and they say things like this. You know, you get somebody shaking their head at me, you know, or like, I don't need to do that, Jared. I don't need to do it. And it doesn't necessarily matter to me. I mean, it does matter to me because I love each one of you, but it matters more to God. What you're saying is you're denying him. You got your arms crossed and you say, you know what, Jared? I don't need to change. Same thing that was going on here between these two ladies. I don't need to change. So Paul says this, look, I have every reason to change. I mean, every reason to put confidence in the flesh and no reason not to change. But what does he say? He says, I count everything rubbish. You know what rubbish is? Trash, all right? It's a little bit stronger in the Greek language. I mean, he's really talking about like manure. I count everything manure compared to what I have learned or what I've received in Christ, right? Everything. That means everything that I thought was right, I lay it down. Everything that I thought that raised me up, I lay it down for Christ, for his cause. Now, here these two ladies are. They're arguing, and Paul is calling them out. I mean, there's no way you can avoid that through this. I mean, he doesn't ever call anybody out like he does Euodia and Syntyche in this letter, and he's telling them, look, you need to change. You need to humble yourself for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. You need to humble yourself because of Christ who lives in you. That's the message. And then he tells them this. Not that I have become perfect, right? Did you hear when he said that? Not that I have attained that yet. In other words, I do not think I have arrived, but I do what? I press on. I keep on keeping on. I press on. I keep on going. I do not stop thinking that I have arrived. In other words, anything that the Lord reveals to me in my life that I need to change, you know what I do? I change. I do those things. I mean, he's the Mac Daddy Christian, right? That's what Mac Daddy, you know. Some of the students are like, yeah, but over here like, what? The main man, right? The big dog, the Christian among Christians. We look at Paul like that, right? He's that person. And he's over here saying, I'm telling you, I have not arrived. I have not. I keep on pressing on. I mean, he's willing to go to jail for Jesus. I keep on pressing on. I keep on pressing on. No matter what, if the Lord reveals something for me to do, I keep on going. I keep on going, whether I think I need to do it or not, because he tells me that I do it. Now, we're walking into a whole new year. The Lord has given us this opportunity. I don't know if he's coming back. He might come back whenever I get finished talking or something like that, and that would be great. He might come back tomorrow. He might not come back to the end of the year. But this is what I will tell you. There are things in your life. There are things in my life, and I don't know the issues of your life. I don't know. For some of you, I do. But for the most of you, I do not know the issues in your life. But this is what I do know. Until Jesus comes from you, comes for you or for me, we need to change. We need to resolve. Listen, resolve to make changes in our life. Spiritual changes to better ourselves for the gospel. Not for ourselves, but for the gospel. And the good thing about that is it's going to be for ourselves anyway, because God wants what's best for us. Just like these two ladies, he wanted what was best for them. He wanted them to humble themselves and listen to what God had to say and to make changes in their lives. Now, like I said to you, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the specific changes. I don't know the sins that you have in your life. I don't know those things. Maybe it is you need to start having devotions with your family. Maybe it's simple as I need to start praying at night. Maybe it's as simple as, you know what, I'm going to start listening to what the preacher has to say. Or maybe I'm going to start listening to sermons on CDs. Or maybe I'm going to start listening to my parents. Or maybe I'm going to start doing my homework earlier. Or maybe I'm going to start loving my wife. Or maybe I'm going to start submitting to my husband and asking him to be the leader and following what he does instead of arguing. Maybe it's just I don't want to argue in front of my kids anymore. I don't know what it is, but this is what I do know. Until Jesus comes back, there are things in our lives spiritually and actions that we need to take to change. And now is a great time to resolve to do that, right? It's the beginning of the year. New Year's resolution. You have the opportunity today to make a decision. You're going to say, you know what, Jared? You're right. I'm going to resolve to make changes in my life. Now maybe it's just one thing. Just one thing you want to change. You don't have to lay out this whole like buffet of stuff that you're gonna. I need to do this, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that. It's sometimes that's unreachable. You just start with one thing, one thing. Now, each of you have a penny, right? You get the play on words. You're resolving to change, or a penny for your thoughts. How about that? It's a penny for your thoughts. This is what I want you to do. Each time that you see this, see a penny. I want you to think about that which you resolve to change. Now, I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come on up here. And what we're going to do, we're going to do something a little different, not too different. But they're just going to play through this last song. And during this song, I want you to just stay seated. I want you to pray and talk to the Lord about what He wants to change in your life. What it is that you want to focus on to make that change. And I want you to let this penny be a witness between you and God. So every time, I see pennies on the ground all the time. And every time that I see one, I think about God blesses me. And I think about that because it says blesses on the penny. But this is what I want for you. Every time that you see that penny or you get change in a restaurant, I know we have debit cards and all that, but every time you get change or something, you see a penny on the ground, I want the Lord to remind you of what it is that you need to change. So while they're going to play this song, I want you just to take a moment. Just to take a little while to talk to the Lord about what He wants to change in your life. What do you need to resolve to change? And I guarantee you this, if you ask Him to reveal something to you, He'll reveal that to you. Team, go ahead.
Spirit within me. my presence.